You're listening to an audio from Sherwood Shores Chapel in Gordonville, Texas.
Aren't you glad this morning that as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us? You know how far that is, by the way? That's a long way. From the east to the west. We need to be very thankful to the Lord. Turn your Bibles and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The American dream. You know, when I was a house painter, I used to work in West Plano, Allen, and I met folks that was, some had come from other countries to live here. Turn me up. Can you turn me up? How about now? Can you hear me now? Many had come here from other countries seeking what we call the American dream. And have you ever thought about that? You know, we who are born here and raised here in America, we what? We do. We take it for granted, the American dream. But is the American dream really a dream? Or is it more of a nightmare? Seriously. Pleasure and wisdom and work, all these things are completely meaningless without Christ. We think that we need more to be happy, but we accumulate more and we find ourselves still just as unhappy, still as unsatisfied as we were before. You know, someone asked Howard Hughes one time, said, "How much money is enough?" And his reply was, "Just a little bit more." Just a little bit more. And that's how we all seem to look at life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon exposes the philosophy that the accumulation of things in our life will make us happy, that is garbage, that is not true. And Solomon says that he has everything, and still he came away completely empty. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. I said in my heart, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity." I said of laughter, "It is mad," and of pleasure, "What use is it?" I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to go to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had experienced in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Now, in chapter 1, Solomon concluded that everything is meaningless and fleeting because humanity has rebelled against God and we live in a cursed world, which basically means that anything that this world can offer us, anything that this world gives us, whether it be the utmost in pleasures, whether it be the utmost in riches, in the end, they will mean absolutely nothing. Solomon, he says that we try to build our lives on what this world can give us and nothing will satisfy us. Solomon says that he tried everything. He tried everything there was to find some kind of meaning in life. Let me ask you this morning, where you sit right now, do you have meaning in your life? Do you have a purpose in your life? A meaning and a purpose besides the mundane thing of getting up on Monday morning, going to work, doing the same thing day after day after day. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you go to bed, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you go to bed, day after day. For what? What are we striving for? We're striving for things. You know, we think, well, if I just work long enough, if I just work hard enough, I will have everything I need in this world and I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. And Solomon says, you know what? No, you won't. He says, you know how I know that? Because I tried it. He says that he says, I had more than any person ever before me. And I have found that it left me completely empty. He said he turned to pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, if nothing I do and this world is just going to burn up in the end, might as well just live it up and do what I can. And that is a very sad way to live. A very sad way. Most of us make decisions based on what will maximize our pleasure and what will maximize our happiness. But Solomon says that pleasure left him empty. He said, whatever my hand, whatever my eye saw, I did not deny myself. He said, if it was there and I wanted it, I took it. He said, I had all the money in the world. I had all the houses in the world. He said, I had the palatial mansion. I had the beautiful gardens. He said, I created for myself a virtual Garden of Eden. And he said, you know what? It wasn't enough. I wanted more. So he says he turns to laughter. Now, I love laughter. I like to laugh. I like to see people laugh. Whether it's at me or with me or whatever, I don't care. I just like to see people laugh. But you know, as we're going to find out in the next chapter, there's a time to laugh and there's a time not to. But we like to laugh. Do you like to laugh? Do you? Laughter, you know, the Bible says that laughter is good like medicine to the body. That to laugh, it can revive us. But Solomon says, you know what? He says, laughter is madness. One time there was a man going to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist had done everything he could for this young man. He felt so bad. He said, I just don't know what to do for him. Nothing seems to work. And he told him, he said, son, he said, downtown there's a theater, and he said, there's a comedian down there. He said, go down there and listen to him. Relax. Just let it all go. Relax and just sit back and just laugh for a while. And maybe it'll make you feel better. And the man said, Doc, you don't understand. I'm that comedian. You know, you can look at, one of the greatest funny people we've ever known, Robin Williams. What happened? He found that his laughter brought nothing but emptiness to his life. And he took his own life. Laughter cannot provide a basis for life. You see, laughter, just like alcohol, can only distract us from the real pain. And for those who live for this world, for those who live for the things of this world, there's pain. Now, they don't know there's pain. Did you know that? You know, you think Ross Perot knew there was pain in his life? Think Donald Trump knows there's pain? And I use those two because they have riches beyond our wildest imagination. Both of them did. And in the end, they will find out what? You know, Ross Perot's not here anymore, but his money is. It belongs to somebody else now. Do you know that? Everything he had that he worked so hard for now belongs to someone else. That's what Solomon told us in the last chapter. Solomon lists many things in his pursuit of satisfaction. He built houses. He planted gardens. He planted vineyards. Solomon, he was listed on an episode of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Old Robin, what's his name? He says, yeah, Solomon. I can't talk like him. He says, look at this beautiful mansion. He said, Solomon has brought in wood from all over the world for the building of his house. He's brought in beautiful marble from all over the world. He said, he has everything. Look at these lavish gardens. He's planted fruit trees, pools of water. He said, it's just so relaxing. And then it shows a shot of Solomon sitting there. It says, Solomon, you've done so well for yourself. And Solomon says, Robin, it means nothing. I'm still not happy. I'm still not satisfied. He had servants at his beck and call. He said, I had male servants. I had female servants. There were servants born in my house. He said, I had someone to tie my shoes. I had someone to brush my teeth. He said, I have somebody to do something, everything, anything. I just snap my fingers and they jump. But I'm not satisfied. He said, I brought in singers. He said, we had great concerts. I brought in the famous of the day to come in and to sing to me and to sing of the pleasures of the world. And it meant nothing. I got nothing. I have absolutely nothing. Let me ask you, what will it take to make you happy? What will it take to make you satisfied? Now, all of us, if we're honest, we will echo the words that I said earlier. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. That's all we need. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had a better wife, if I just had a better husband, if I just had better children, if we had a better pastor, if I had a better church, then I would be satisfied. Then I would be happy. And Solomon says, no, you won't. No, you won't. Because these things will not make us happy. These things will not satisfy us. Look at verse 12. He said, so I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, and there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happens to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been for long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind. Have you noticed that throughout this book, Solomon keeps using that phrase over and over and over? All is vanity. All is futile. All is useless. And striving after wind, fighting against the wind, trying to grab the wind. You ever tried to grab the wind? Have you ever tried to do that? How much of it you grab? None of it. You can't do it, Solomon says. And he says wisdom is meaningless. He turned to wisdom and madness and folly. And in verse 12, he says, for what can a man do who comes after the king? Solomon is basically saying to those that come after him, he said, son, he said, don't try to outdo me. He said, because you can't. You know, he says, someone may come along and say, well, Solomon, you just didn't get enough of it to be happy. You just didn't have enough possessions. You didn't have enough servants. You didn't have enough love to be happy. And Solomon says, don't try to outdo me. He said, because you won't. He said, no, I had more than any before me has ever had. All the wisdom and all the knowledge of the world won't satisfy. You know, we live in a society today, in a culture that says that learning is everything. We push our children to go into college. I can't tell you how many college-educated people I know that can't find a job. I heard a guy the other day, he says, we have got to the point to where we are pushing kids and spending money we don't have to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore. You realize that? I heard somebody else one time said, you know what we do? He said, we take money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. Why do we do that? Why? So that we can be happy, so we can be satisfied, and Solomon says, but you won't be. All of us scream for judgment, a reckoning beyond the current miserable reality. And let me tell you something. This world that we live in without Christ is a miserable place. It is a sin-cursed place. There is no good. There is no good in it whatsoever. None. Anywhere. But yet we keep striving to get more of it. Verse 18, Solomon says, I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair. Over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of his heart, with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story about a farmer who had an abundance in his crop. And he said, I'm going to have to build more barns. He said, then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry and enjoy all that my hands have worked for and toiled for and that I have gained. And Jesus said, but God spoke to the man and said, you fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these be? And that's exactly what Solomon said right here. He said, everything I've worked for, he said, someone coming after me is going to be theirs. He said, I don't know whether he'll be a wise man or a foolish man. He said, but it doesn't make any difference because everything I've worked for, he's going to get, and he didn't even work for it. He said, so what's the point? What's the point in doing all of this? It's foolish to live our life to accumulate possessions because we cannot take them with us. There's only one thing that satisfies. Look at verse 24. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also was vanity and striving after wind. Solomon calls us to be content and satisfied only in God. Only in God do we find satisfaction, do we find contentment. Job is a wonderful person, picture for us to look at. You know, Solomon was an extremely wealthy man. So was Job. It says that Job had more possessions than anyone around. And in one day, Job not only had many possessions, he had a lot of money. He had a 4-camel garage. He had all this stuff. He had a large family that loved each other. And in one day, it was all gone. All of it. By the way, do you know who took it away from him? God did. It's interesting that if you read in Job, it says that Satan appears before God, and God says, Satan, where you been? He says, well, I've been down on the earth, walking to and fro. And God says, well, have you considered my servant Job? He's such an upright man. He's a godly man. He loves me. He's faithful. He's obedient. Now, you realize what God was doing right there? He took a paintbrush, and he painted a target on Job's back. God did this to his man. And Satan said, well, does Job love you for that? Job only loves you, God. He only is faithful to you because you protect him, because you give him all these things. And God says, you know what? Take anything you want. Do anything to him you want to do to him, but don't touch his life. Now, I love the fact that God had to give Satan permission to do anything, and that there was a line where God drew and said, don't go past that line. Satan couldn't cross that line. But here's the thing. Satan came, and in one day, Job lost everything. And Job's mindset, let me turn over here to Job chapter 1 and read this in verse 20 and 21. It says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground. You know what he did? He worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job found that in his life, that everything he had, he was given to him by God. And he says, you know what? God gave it. God can take it. Anything that we strive for in this world, Solomon says, is not ours. It's given to us by God. And the Bible says, and I said this last week, I will continue to say it throughout this series of messages, God is not opposed to us having things. He's not opposed to us having money. He's not opposed to us having a nice house. He's not opposed to us having the things that we can acquire in this world. God is opposed when those things become our God. And when we begin to think that God owes us these things. And Job says right here, he says, the Lord gave it, the Lord can take it away. But Solomon, he calls us to be content only in God, not for the things that God gives us. We look to created things for satisfaction when only the one who is the creator can truly give that satisfaction. And as I said, each one of us, we are born into this world with a void in our life. A void that was brought about and caused by sin. And only God can fill that void. Only God. Nothing else. We spend more money than we could ever imagine trying to fill that void. Well, a new car will fill it. And if it did, you would never buy another car. You realize that? How many of you have owned more than one car in your life? Just a little bit more money in the bank will fill that void. People back in 1929 would be very cautious to believe you. You know what happened on that day, right? Every cent they owned was worth nothing. Gone. In an instant. Everything they'd worked for. The great stock market crash. Do you think another thing like that could happen? Could it? Sure could. That's the people in Venezuela. You know what they're doing? They're down there. They're using money for fuel to build fires because the money's not worth anything. The problem is not the things, it's the value we place on these things. That you know, my life was just not complete if I don't have this in my life. And Solomon says, no, we must understand that God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy the things that He gives, but only when we're satisfied in Christ and in His love will we begin to enjoy the things that God and learn to be content with the things that God has given us. Somebody has well said, and you know this is true, that we were created to use things and love people. But what we do today is we love things and use people. That's what we do today. Everything that we, every relationship that we come across is, what do you have for me? What can you do for me? And you know, when you're on the other side of that relationship, that can be very heartbreaking. The only reason this person wants me in their life is because of what I can do, of what I can give. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? But how many times, let me ask you, how many times do we do God that same way? When we say, God, I will follow you as long as you do this. Hey, there is a whole prosperity gospel out there centered around that. That God owes you anything you desire. That is a lie that smells like smoke because it comes from the pit of hell. Let me ask you this morning, what is it in your life, what do you need today to be happy? What do you need today to be satisfied? If you say anything but Christ, you are like Solomon. He says you're grasping the wind. You're grasping the wind. Let me ask you something. Do you know Christ? Do you know the salvation that Jesus brings? Do you, that void in your life, has it been filled with Christ? The only one that can fill it. I find it very encouraging that, you know, there's a organization that I follow. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. And did you know that right now, that in the last 10 to 20 years, there have been more Christians murdered for their faith than there has been in the entire history of the church? And it's escalating. But here's what's encouraging. There are Christians in Iran. By the way, did you know that Iran is the fastest growing church in the world? It's an underground church, but it's growing. But the church in Iran, the church in China, the church in Russia, the church in North Korea, they say we have nothing but Christ. And that's all we need. That's all we need. Very quickly, I'll tell you a story. I know I've told you this before. I heard this missionary guy who was talking. He said that he was asked to go to China and to preach to some Christians in China. Now, Christianity is illegal in China, so he was smuggled into the country. And he said, when they smuggled me in, he said, and I got in this car, and they were taking whatever town they were in or city or whatever. And he said, they were taking me down these streets. He says, the guy was driving like a maniac. He said he'd get to a turn and he wouldn't even slow down. He just turned. And he said, he kept looking in his mirror and everything. And he said, I knew what he was doing. He was looking to see if we were followed. And he said that he stopped once and he turned around. He said in broken English, he said, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And he said, I tried to protest, and the guy said, get out. And he opened the door, and he said the guy just basically took off before he even got out of the car. And he said, as soon as I got out of the car, he said, someone grabbed me and pulled me into this building, this store. And he said, and we went through the store and out the back door and into another car, and off we went again. He said, and this went on for about an hour. He said, and the guy finally explained to me, he said, you know, if you get caught, you're dead. He said, they don't throw you in prison. They will kill you. And so he said they finally came to this big, huge, abandoned building. And the windows in it had been painted black to keep, you know, anybody from seeing in or any light from penetrating out or anything. So he said they go in and they walk up these several flights of stairs. He said this is an abandoned building. It looks like it's about to fall down anytime. And he said they go into this little room, and there's a group of 20 or 30 Chinese Christians sitting there. And he said, I was brought there to teach them for 3 days. I was going to preach to them and teach them. He said, these Chinese Christians had traveled for 3 days by train to get there into that little room, knowing if they got caught, not only would they be persecuted, their families would be persecuted. He said, they came there at great cost. And he said, about 8 o'clock in the morning, I began to preach. And he said, at 7 o'clock that night, I told them, I said, I have to stop. And they begged him, please don't. Please keep telling us. Keep teaching us the Bible. That ought to make us ashamed. And he said that during this time, he said he had a few Bibles. He didn't have enough for everybody. But he had a few New Testaments that he was able to smuggle in, and he handed them out. And he noticed this young lady standing there in the front. He'd hand her one, and she'd hand it to somebody else. He'd hand her another one, she'd hand it to somebody else. And finally, he told her, he said, I don't have any more. She said, that's okay. She said, I've just spent 4 years in prison for my faith. And she said, while I was in prison, she said, people used to write little pieces of scripture on paper, on little bitty pieces of paper, and slip them to me. She said, I got them memorized. She said, I don't need it. They need it more than I do. Isn't that amazing? But what I found really amazing about it was, at the end of the third day, he said he was about to leave, and this young Chinese lady, Christian lady, he said, we had kind of, you know, got where we talked a lot. And he said, he told her, he said, is there anything that I can pray for you? Anything at all? She said, yes. She said, please pray that we can be like the church in America. And he said, I looked at her and I said, no, ma'am. He said, I'm going to pray the church in America becomes like you. Because the church in America thinks that they have to have big, nice buildings with air conditioning and heating and sound systems to worship God. And you understand that all you need is just a little room and a Bible. He said American Christians think that when they get out of church, they need to go to have some restaurant they must be able to go to eat. He said, what little food you have, you share with everybody. Doesn't that make us ashamed? But that's what Solomon's talking about. He's saying, look, you want to be a child of God, a follower of God. He said, the first thing you have to understand is, and I realize how simplistic this is, but believe me, we need to understand this, that if we are going to be a follower of God, if we are going to be a worshiper of God, we must have God. You realize that? We must have him. And Solomon says, stop striving. It's okay to go to your jobs and get the money to pay your bills and buy your things. But remember what they are. They're just things. And don't let them get in the way of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we are thankful this morning that you have given us so many resources. We thank you that we have a nice, comfortable building to come and worship you. Father, we thank you that we have a sound system. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided the monies to take care of our bills. But Lord, may we understand today that all of these things could be gone tomorrow. But may we also understand, Father, that even if they are, we can still worship. We can still follow. We can still witness. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning that does not know Christ, that void in their life is still empty. They've not allowed the only thing to fill it that will satisfy. That this morning they might believe the gospel. That they might believe that Jesus has paid for their sin. That he was buried and that he rose from the dead and that he lives today. And that one day that same Jesus will return in glory to judge the living and the dead. Father, may they this morning believe the gospel and by faith receive the gift of eternal life that you offer through Christ. And Lord, may we all understand and be grateful and never take for granted the many blessings that you give us, the material blessings you give to us. But Father, may we never allow these things to take your place. May we never think that you owe us anything. Father, that like Solomon, we might learn that it's all a grasping after the wind. It's all futility. If in this life only, as the Apostle Paul says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you want to know more, please visit us at SherwoodShoresChapel.org. You can copy this audio. We ask only that you distribute it for free. God bless.